In the reality television series Storage Wars, there are professional buyers who sort of make the circuit around rental lockers, facilities in the state of California, and bid on the contents of those lockers. But before each one is auctioned off, the buyers are given the opportunity to survey its contents. They can't go into it and start digging deeply into the contents, but they can stand near the entrance and look at what's in there, try to get some idea of what's in there. It takes a good eye, some bold, risky thinking too, to try to guess what's in there and how to bid on it. And after the day's auctions are complete, the bidders who've won actually get to go into the lockers, estimating the prices that they may want to set on the contents if they want to put them up for resale, or in some cases, there might even be an item that requires a professional appraiser. On the screen, you'll see running totals that display what they estimate the total value of the contents are compared to what they actually paid for it. And by the end of the show, you get some sense of what their net profit or loss was for having bid and won that particular rental locker. During the season's, during the show's first season, there was one person named Jared. He was sort of a new member of the group who had lost several auctions to some of the more veteran bidders, but vowed that this time he would be the winner on the next unit up for bid. So he took a visual scan of what was in there and saw a lot of cardboard boxes, looked like newspapers, old bottles, things like that. And in the middle of all of it was a large metal safe, which of course he guessed might be filled with some valuable stuff, maybe gems, precious metals, bearer bonds, land deeds, other riches like that. So he made a hefty bid of $1,500. Well, once he had won and got in there, sadly he discovered that the safe was completely empty. He thought his hopes of striking it rich were dashed until one of the other more veteran bidders told him that the safe itself, a vintage safe, was worth quite a bit, and actually ended up selling that for $3,000. So you never really know what you might discover when you open up your storage locker. Maybe jewels, or maybe junk, or maybe jewels in the midst of some junk, as in the case of Jared there. There's a reporter and news anchor named Allison Stewart who wrote a book titled Junk, Digging Through America's Love Affair with Stuff. And she examined the private lives and the profitable business that goes along with our craving for consumer goods. She talked and wrote about the billions of dollars that are generated by the billions of square feet of storage space that we have in our country that just continues to grow. And she also pointed out the real tension that exists between the desire to buy and own, positioned against the stress created by the acquisitions, makes perfect sense for non-scripted television. And thus you get a multiplication of shows like Storage Wars. You may recognize some of the other titles: American Pickers, Auction Hunters, Auction Kings, Buried Treasure, Flea Market Flip, Hoarders, Junk Gypsies, Junkyard Wars, Pawn Stars, Picker Sisters, Storage Wars, and of course a spinoff, Storage Wars Texas, if you're interested in that particular show as well. Now, some of you may rent storage space, or you may have some space in your home devoted to storage, or you may have some space in your house that's supposed to be living space, but actually is starting to look more like the set of a reality television show. Well, some of what you've accumulated may be treasure. Some of it may be trash. And a lot of it's probably going to be somewhere there in between. And that's where the discernment and the decision making get even more difficult. Keep it or toss it. That's often the decision that we face. Well, in today's scripture passage, Jesus uses the imagery of storage and the language of storage to talk to us about what it means to be his disciples, to be a community of his followers. Our text is actually part of a larger block of teaching called the Sermon on the Plain. Here in Luke, Jesus is on a flat place, whereas in Matthew, he's on a mountain, thus the Sermon on the Mount. But in both versions, Jesus covers a wide range of subjects, including integrity, purity of the heart. In verse 45 of today's passage, Jesus says, "The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks." Now, the Greek word translated here in our text as stored up is thesaurus, which can also, of course, mean a book that's a collection of sayings, a collection of terms that are precious and valuable, treasures, a treasure sort of things that are valuable. In other translations, the term rendered here as stored up is rendered as treasure. If you look at some other versions of the Bible, it refers to a place where things that are valuable or precious are stored or collected or laid up, maybe a closet, maybe a chamber of some sort, maybe a chest of some sort. Whatever type of space it is, the main thing is that this is where human beings place things that they regard as precious or is valuable. If it's valuable, store it away. That's the essence of the imagery that Jesus is using here. And according to Jesus, if you want to be one of his disciples and live a kingdom of God kind of life, then you need to pay attention to what you're storing up, mainly in yourself, especially your heart. Specifically, you need to view your heart as sacred space. Your heart, it's sacred space, says Jesus, where you store up different kinds of things that are then eventually coming back out or brought out in one form or another. Heart, speak specifically of your heart as sacred space. When I speak of your heart, I'm talking about the center of who you are. It's sort of that locus point that embraces your thoughts, your will, your affections, your intentions, your heart. It's the core of who you are and what you're all about, your heart. So it's no wonder that Jesus stresses the importance of paying attention to what you're putting into your heart, what you're storing up in your heart, what goes into your heart. Now, it's true that a lot of what your heart is about can be shaped by genetic factors or maybe also by basic personality or your unique gifts or insights. But your heart, we're told in today's scripture, is also deeply formed by what comes into it from the outside. As one person has put it, certainly from childhood on, a torrential amount of content is poured into the reservoir of the heart from seemingly unlimited sources of varying quality, some of it pure, some of it polluted. Some of it pure, some of it polluted. As Jesus begins to form his community of disciples, he stresses how our own hearts can be filled with things that are pure, things that are polluted. We can take into ourselves, our essential selves, things that are good, things that are evil. It's not as if Jesus goes around calling disciples and is only looking and summoning folks who are basically impervious to the power of sin and the corrupting power of evil. There are no such people. There are only people like us whom he can call, whose hearts are molded and shaped by all kinds of stuff. Hearts that are molded and shaped sometimes by good things, sometimes by evil things. Alexander Solzhenitsyn once wrote, "If only there were evil people somewhere insidiously committing evil deeds, and it were necessary only to separate them from the rest of us and destroy them. But the line dividing good and evil cuts through the heart of every human being. And who is willing to destroy a piece of his own heart?" heart. Your heart, my heart. It's the sacred space where God does his most essential and important work. And that's because life change flows from heart change. In other words, who you are is generated, who you are generates what you are and what you do. How you live is generated by who you are. During Jesus' own life and ministry, there were certain religious groups or schools of thought that believed that if you just do something right or good long enough, it becomes a habit. And the development of that habit is what basically makes you a good person. And there may be some truth in that, but Jesus saw it and spoke about things differently. He talked about how the fruit you bear is a sign of the heart you have. You can tell the tree by the kind of fruit it bears and yields. So being good is a matter of the heart. That's why Jesus shifts from talking about trees to talking about treasure. Not the kind of treasure that's tucked away maybe in a closet or a plastic bin or a safe deposit box or maybe even a storage locker that you rent somewhere, but the kind of treasure that you place into the sacred space called your heart. Remember that every day, in ways big and small, sometimes ways that you realize, sometimes ways that you don't, you're in the business and about the business of accumulating things. Not just material, tangible things, though that's often the case, but spiritual accumulation in your heart as well. You're storing up every day. You're storing up thoughts, words, ideas, images, perceptions, impressions. You're collecting experiences and events. You're assembling messages and ideas. You're sort of organizing claims and circumstances moment by moment. Even, like I said, in ways that we often aren't aware of, you're acquiring things. You're acquiring things that people say. You're acquiring things that people do. You're acquiring things that you listen to. You're acquiring things that you watch. You're acquiring things that you read. You're acquiring things that you buy. You're acquiring things that you eat. According to Jesus, who you are on the inside certainly influences what you are on the outside. And who you are on the inside is deeply shaped by what comes into you from the outside. That means that being a disciple of Jesus requires God-given discernment in order to be able to tell what's good, what's evil, what to keep, what to toss, what to let in, what to keep out. Jesus tells us to acquire and hold on to the things that make for what? A good heart. Acquire and accumulate and take in and store up the things that make for a good heart. And that means we need to be diligent. It means we need to be diligent about filling your heart with good things as much as you may be attentive to filling that particular display cabinet with collectibles. Be just and more attentive to filling your heart with good things. Be focused. In fact, be even more focused on accumulating good things in your heart, says Jesus, than you are about accumulating more interest in your retirement account. Be just as diligent about that kind of accumulation. Think of what Jesus is telling us here. Be more careful about organizing good stuff in your heart than you are about organizing those boxes in your attic or wherever else you've got them. Be diligent about the kind of heart organization that needs to take place as well. After all, when stacked up against the treasures of God's kingdom, which are lasting and eternal, all these other kinds of things that which we label in many ways as precious, valuable treasure, start to plummet in value compared to the treasures of the kingdom that need to be stored up in the heart, says Jesus. There's a verse from Proverbs. It's printed as the scripture for reflection in today's bulletin. It says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life." Your heart. Like I stressed earlier, is the center of your will, your affections, your love, your thoughts, your desires, your intentions, your feeling. It's the wellspring of life. It's that essential self from which our actions flow, says Jesus. The content of your actions, that reveals the content of your heart. The content of your actions reveals the content of your heart. Or to pick up on Jesus' kind of imagery that he uses in today's scripture passage, you can't go and place one kind of item in storage and then expect to go back later and pull it out and have it be something different. It's going to be what it was when you put it in terms of your heart, he says then. What you put in is what you'll get out. It's what you'll get out. It's what will come out of it. This is why it's so crucial for you and I to be vigilant and diligent about the condition of our hearts, the condition of your heart, to pay close attention to what you're storing up in it. When it comes to the state of your heart, Jesus tells us that you need to be storing up goodness. You need to be storing up goodness in all of its forms. All of its forms. That means you need to pack your heart tight. However much you may pack that closet, that plastic bin, that storage locker tight, you need to pack your heart tight with the truth of God revealed in Jesus. That's part of it. You need to take the riches of the scriptures, the preciousness of worship, the value of fellowship with others, the costliness of Christian living, says Jesus. And just as high as you would stack up those other containers in whatever space you're using, you need to take these precious valuables of the kingdom and stack them up in your heart and store them away. Keep them. You need to take, Jesus says, friendships and relationships, especially relationships with others in the church. You need to take friendships and relationships with people who actually steer you in the direction of good and goodness, and accumulate those in your heart and lay them up in your heart. That's part of what Jesus is telling us. Put them up for safekeeping. You need to take, he says, you need to take the kinds of things that build you up in Christ, the kinds of things that make you more devoted to Christ, the kinds of things that make you more like Christ. You need to take them and unashamedly and persistently just hoard them in your heart. That's where it needs to happen, in your heart. And above all, I think Jesus says to us that you need to be steadily and with perseverance and determination accumulating the presence of the Holy Spirit, the presence of Jesus Christ himself in your heart. That's where the laying up and the storing away needs to be happening, in your heart. It is sacred space, precious square footage. There's one person who quotes comedian George Carlin, who once said, "The essence of life is trying to find a place to put all your stuff." The essence of life is trying to find a place to put all your stuff. Well, in today's scripture passage, Jesus teaches us that the essence of being his disciple is knowing how to store up the right kind of stuff in the right place, your heart. And as you accumulate more of these kinds of things, the things of the kingdom in your heart becomes more filled with goodness, a heart full of goodness. And it's out of the heart full of goodness that goodness flows in terms of your words and your works, your attitudes and your actions. That's part of what Jesus teaches us today. Out of this fullness come your words and works, your attitudes and actions. When you store up these good things, you develop a heart full of goodness, which means that your life of following Jesus, well, that's basically the overflow. Whatever's in your heart, those good things that Jesus wants you to store up, Your life basically becomes the overflow of what's in you, in your heart. Jesus tells us again in our scripture passage for today, the good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks. Let's pray. Oh God, you are good. You know our own hearts have good things and evil things in them. We have treasure in us, and we also have trash in us. We pray that you help us to see those things that are evil, those things that are trash in our hearts, and turn away from them, toss them, and have more of your heart in us, the heart of Jesus, a heart more filled with goodness, so that our lives can overflow from that, and our words, our works, our attitudes, our actions. Give us more of the heart of Jesus in our own hearts. We pray this in his name. Amen.